This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Today, I'm talking to Sarah Haynes. You guys had so many great questions for her all about mom hacks. I, as a new mother, love to learn about mom hacks and also embarrassing stories, which she has a few to share. And I did a conversation with Sarah a couple weeks ago for her Instagram channel. So we talked about some motherhood topics there, if you want to rewatch that. But we're going to talk about some more today. So I'm very excited to chat with her. Hi! We got it the first time this time.
No, unheard of. I think it only took me 15 minutes to get you into mine.
That was crazy. That was just such a little a fun moment, but it's technology, so it's fine. Thank you so much for coming on today and for taking time, because I know we talked a lot about some mom things a couple weeks ago when we did our conversation for your site, for your page. But I'm so excited because I always love to learn from other moms, and you have mom hacks and embarrassing stories. And then I also got some really great questions for you just about motherhood, the balancing act that you make look very cool, calm, and collected, which people wanted to know how you do that and manage all of your children. And also I was rewatching an old interview that I had seen you do when you were talking about having kids later in life, thought that you were going to. And so I also want to talk about that, because fertility and also just family planning is a big topic that we talk about here. But I think we want to get started with some mom hacks and embarrassing stories, because that's fun.
Well, I have to start with the embarrassing stories, because I was reminiscing about how I'm just a walking embarrassment in general. Like I always have a moment. I call it Bridget Jonesing, but when I became a mom, I now laugh at it more than I used to. When it first started, it was kind of part of that imposter syndrome of motherhood that I felt really from the moment the first baby was born. And now looking back, I do realize I had some postpartum. But combined with probably a more normal feeling was, you expect yourself, I always wanted to be a mom. I always babysat. I was a nanny. I had every box checked.
Right.
But overnight, when I became a mom, even though I had been pregnant and everything, I assumed something would change. Like I'd feel all these things. People were like, you're the mom. You'll know. It's instinct. And I kept thinking, when is that going to start? I told my husband, I was like, I'm not feeling the instincts. What's happening? So in the beginning, I used to get really emotional about some of these embarrassing moments. But now I just laugh. Some of it is like the overwhelming part of baby gear. You know, like when you register, you get it, you kind of pretend you're excited at a baby shower. Because I remember saying to my husband, everyone always looks so happy and it's so thoughtful. People got us gifts, but it's not like it's my birthday party and I know these gifts.
And it's also not like it's for you. Like it's like I'm the one that's growing this child and that's like walking around feeling swollen and nauseous. And then like, thank you for all the baby gear. But I love learning about baby gear, because this is actually a question. We had a couple of questions about baby gear and advice for baby gear, because it's so true that you register for things for your baby, especially your first baby. And then it's like all the gear just sits in your home.
Yep. And you don't know when to use it. So some of the things that started is, I remember when I looked at my husband one time, we were talking about strollers and we started observing people's strollers because we lived in the city. He goes, when did we become this? And I was like, we're literally like, do you like this one? Do you, you know, necessity breeds invention. But I remember when we first got the stroller, we were going to that first doctor's appointment, which is like 2 days after you get home. Uh-huh. And the stroller would always turn really wide. And my husband and I were like, this makes us sound so dumb, but we're like, maybe it's like meant for the suburbs, like a wider turn. Like maybe it wasn't. 1 month later, we find out one of the wheels was locked. So one week walked, we could not turn in that stroller. The whole way to the doctors, I kept putting these diaper rags to block the sun. I didn't realize every stroller in modern day world has the screen that comes down. Because it's not like, unless you watch those videos, it's not, they all look really nice and clean. But I didn't check every zipper. And I'm like crying. And I'm like, I don't know how to use the stroller. And then we were looking for childcare a few months in because I was going to be going back to work. And we were visiting these local daycares. And I remember this is one of the most mortifying moments. We're standing outside the daycare and I felt like help was on the way because we had been on our own. We had no family. We were doing it completely by ourselves, but I knew I had to go back to work within like a few weeks. And I thought, well, at least it won't just be on us anymore. We'll have someone. I turned to like almost embrace this woman because she'd given us such a beautiful tour and the daycare facility was really nice. And I'm like, thank you so much. And she goes, oh my God, your baby. And like the stroller went down the street. She looked at me with this look like, you need us. The baby needs us. Okay. Like it was, and then you try to get past it laughing about it, but it was, and of course nothing happened. But in that moment, I'm like, everyone's judging us right now.
But it's such a thing. Like I remember when I first went to the pediatrician, which by the way, that appointment comes so quickly. And then you're like, how am I supposed to get the baby in the car? And like, you know, unhook the car seat. And I remember getting to the, because you go through all these strollers. And also since I had my daughter in the heat of the pandemic, I didn't try out strollers. I just kind of got a stroller that I thought would work. And then I pulled up to the pediatrician and I was in the parking garage and by myself. And I realized that I didn't know how to open up the stroller because they collapse.
Yeah.
And nice and light and beautiful. And then you go to open it and I didn't know how to open it. And I was having so much anxiety about keeping my mask on and keeping the baby covered because they can't wear a mask and then undoing the thing. And how do I get the car seat out of the case? And then I was in the parking garage with no cell phone service crying. And I was like, this is so ridiculous. And it is true. It's like those moments that you look back on that now you can totally laugh about. But in the moment, you're just like, there's just so much stuff. And it's also looking back, I mean, I'm only 9.5 months in, but I look back and some of my girlfriends are like, what do I actually need for the first 6 months to a year? Like what are the gear things that you actually need? And then when do you start using them? Like I registered for all this baby food stuff that I got before she was born. And it just sat in my kitchen for 6.5 months until I started feeding her. And then you're like, oh, I forgot about that. So it is like, I mean, you have 3 kids, so you have like more experience, but there's just so much out there, which I love learning about, but it's very overwhelming.
One thing I did, one of my mom hacks that really helped me was when I was pregnant with my first, I wrote to all my trusted mommy group. And by that, they had babies at different ages. I'm from Iowa and all my friends had their babies at 24 and 25. My baby came at 38. So when I say that they were long into motherhood, I wrote all those high school friends, all my college friends, all my professional friends, and I put them on a list. And I said, you guys, tell me the one thing you couldn't live without when you had your baby, and tell me the one thing you thought you couldn't live without that you totally could. Like the thing you thought that you had no use for. What it did teach me is, in addition to really honing in on what was important, it taught me that there was some contradiction. Like one friend loved her baby wipe warmer. And another friend was like, I hated the warmer. Every time I pulled the wipe out, it cooled down. So the theme in all of it was, I always say, we channel our fear of this beautiful God-given responsibility of motherhood by throwing money at products to think we're preparing, we're safeguarding. A lot of it is for not. It does, you know, I say err on the side of much less and channel your energies as the pregnancy gets near to taking care of yourself and doing some things that will be put on hold for a few years, like leaving the house without thinking of how you're going to take the baby with you, going to a movie in the middle of the afternoon, going out to dinner without thoughts of child, you know. Do that stuff because that stuff and time you don't get back. But to think in products, we got some things, like there was a little seat that my first sat in, my second and third never wanted to go in it. So baby to baby, it varies.
Right. It's so true.
I say spend less, get less, and really look to friends, because I also was quick to give things away that we liked as soon as the babies were done. I was like, do you need this? And it was very, it environmentally made my heart swell, like use it again, because baby stuff is used for such a short run. But email your mommy friends, even if it's a generation above you, like every mom you've ever known, they have a wisdom of time. Ask them.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I also think the whole, you know, the product thing, even like what we choose to use with our baby, whether it's like certain products or things, like I remember buying so much of that. And then you actually are there and it's like, you use one thing and then their skin gets used to one thing. So you stick with that one thing and then you're just left with all of these other things. And my mom actually said to me, she was like, these like strollers are so expensive. Car seats. Yeah. Expensive, you know, different little like activity mats and different center things that you use for your baby. It's like, if you have a great group of girlfriends that are also having kids in the same kind of vicinity as you, get a good group where you trust each other and recycle those between you guys, because it's so unnecessary to like between three girlfriends have like several different strollers if you guys are all at different phases of motherhood. And I love the idea of being able to reach out to moms and also know that when you get to have your baby, that I always think of, you know, like when my grandma had my mom, it's like they didn't have any of that. It was like diaper, wipes, and a onesie, I assume. But like, it's like there's so much information, which is amazing. And so many products that are thrown at us every single day, especially on social media.
Yep.
It is amazing and so great. And it's also figuring out like what works for you and for your family, and being able to know and understand that like you use these things for such a specific amount of time that the idea of being able to have, you know, a group of friends or a pod, like a pod of baby products.
I love that.
Yeah. It's overwhelming. I was actually going to post yesterday you'd be a great person to ask. My daughter is now crawling, and a Dock-a-Tot, yesterday morning, I was in the bathroom washing my face when she woke up and she crawled out of the Dock-a-Tot. And I was like, what do I do now? Like, where do I put her while I brush my teeth?
I don't even know what Dock-a-Tot is.
The Dock-a-Tot is like a little, it looks like a little kind of inflatable. It looks like a pool float kind of that you lay your baby in.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the baby Bjorn bouncer, I love, but now she's too big. So now it doesn't bounce. It's like completely flat.
Wait, it's so funny what you'll do to keep your kids safe though. Cause that one thing I took to, we were in an apartment in Brooklyn. We didn't have a lot of, I remember our little, it'd be like a Dock-a-Tot, I guess. Cause it kind of almost looked like a breastfeeding pillow, but it was like a pod that she could, all the kids laid in.
Yeah.
I started literally pulling the high chair to the side of the bathroom and putting the different babies in there, because I knew it was one place I could lock them in inside.
And
then we turned on Alexa and I'd talk to them from the shower.
See, like I like to be able to see her. And so I look at all these things, and also, you know, you can do the playpen, of course, but then it's like, that's so big to put in your bathroom. So anyway, I want to also talk about, because we mentioned, you know, you were 38 when you had first. You have three now. Your youngest you had in 2019, right? So he's two or three?
Two in June.
Okay. Oh my God, so cute. So you, in the interview that I was talking about, and I think it's on a lot of people's minds right now, especially women that are in my age group of, you know, our generation waiting longer to have kids, to get married. And there is so much, especially online, about fertility and, you know, getting your fertility tested, your fertility levels, your hormone levels. Freezing your eggs is now an option, which is great and also very overwhelming, because do you do it? Do you not do it? What if you have the option to have a baby in a year? Then is that a waste of money? So there are all of these factors that I think young women are, you know, being bombarded with, which is great, but also really overwhelming. Right. And you do, of course, have this kind of biological clock that you pay attention to, but also there are so many other things you want to pay attention to before deciding to have kids. Can you talk a little bit about how you, because I know that you've talked about that that wasn't your plan. You wanted to have kids sooner, but that's how it ended up for you. And it's great.
Right.
But to ease the mind or kind of bring comfort to people who might be feeling like, oh my gosh, my time is running out and I'm 31 years old. What am I going to do, you know, in that mindset?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I flash back to, I was 27 and single and I was on the Upper East Side with my two chihuahuas and this woman goes by and she has like a baby in her stroller. And I'm telling her like, your baby's so cute. And I'm talking to her and she goes, my advice for you, don't wait. And I remember thinking, I knew she meant well, yeah. But in that, and I was like, do you think I'm choosing not to have babies? I'm literally single. I can't keep a boy, let alone make a child, you know, as she said that. And even the term again, like my sister, who's older than me, she and her husband were married for about, I think it was 5 years. And she had some problems having babies, but I remember saying to her, my mom was saying to her when she was traveling internationally, like, you're not going to have a baby if you don't have sex. Like she would tell her that because they'd be in different places. And she was like, you got to get going. I don't typically recommend when you're already together with whoever you're choosing to have a baby with, if you know you're going to have babies, I very rarely am someone that says, wait till you're ready. Cause I don't think we're ever really ready. I think you eventually just do it. So the way it worked out for me, I met my husband when I was 34 and we got married at 37 and we kind of knew with my timeline, he's 5 years younger than me, that we would need to, you know, we didn't have the luxury of time because I was aware of my clock. And I thought, we know we want them. It's sooner than I'd plan in an ideal world, but we're going to go for it. Well, this is one mistake I made. I assumed I'd have problems because I think going into it, assuming that, then anything else is lovely and a blessing. But people around me had struggled of all ages. Like my best friend, who's 5 years younger than me, struggled. And she had started having kids almost 5 years before that. And she had struggled. My sister had struggled. Everyone in my circle struggled. So one of the first appointments Max and I made was to a fertility specialist. We hadn't tried yet, but I thought, we're going to have problems. Let's do the research. Right. After that first appointment, we didn't realize that we got pregnant that month. So I was pretty much sitting there but I had gotten an app because my sister told me, oh, there are apps that track your ovulation. Well, yeah. Let's remind everyone, we are so uniquely different that I was tracking. And for 6 months or 5 months, I wasn't getting pregnant. Like I came off the pill right when we got married. I was like, huh, let's go. Didn't get pregnant. I thought, see, this is the struggle I was talking about. Well, I get one ovulation test and that month I see when I actually ovulate compared to the app, and I ovulated every month 7 days later than the app told me. So we were scheduling sex a week before we
scheduling sex. How romantic.
We were newlyweds, so we didn't mind it, but we were like, gotta do it here. We were literally undoing it because we got our heads involved. Right. And so I would advise people that if you're going to do things, apps are lovely and helpful. And I use tons of them even to track my own, you know, menstrual cycles and everything else, breastfeeding. But be careful if it's about getting pregnant, that one size does not fit all.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting very lucky because in this day and age and me being older, we actually did not have to do anything other than that ovulation kit. Right. I ended up getting pregnant just by knowing my cycle and kind of around the time. And the third was a beautiful accident. We had always kind of wanted three, but if I had used my head at the moment I got pregnant, we wouldn't have said, oh, it sounds like a good idea.
We were
very overwhelmed with two. And we always say the universe and God gave us the gift we needed. It just didn't seem like the right decision at the time. And thank God, like our family feels complete now, but that work would not have been something I would have said, yep, let's do that.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It's like there are so many apps. And I remember like when a lot of my girlfriends who are a little bit older than me, right when they got married, they're all talking about downloading these apps, tracking your cycle, having sex on this day and that day. And, you know, well, the app says this. And I'm like, then you get the, you know, the ovulation sticks and you're like, really not on the same page of this app at all. And it's also, a lot of those apps are for women who have like a very regular 20. And I'm like, how many people have that?
Like, it's who are these people?
Who are these alleged perfect cycle people? Like, it's like, you know, it's so confusing. And I remember one time I was talking to my mom, I was like, look at this app and you can see when you ovulate. And she's like, wow, like we didn't talk about that at all when I was like, when I had gotten married to your dad, like we didn't have apps, of course, but yeah. We didn't talk about tracking your cycle, yep. Or ovulation, knowing when that is. And it's one of those things, again, that I'm like, it's an amazing gift to be able to know your body and to know your cycle and to know the different phases of your cycle. And it can have moments of working against you because it causes stress and anxiety, which, you know, so much research goes in to show that a lot of that affects your ability to get pregnant. And
yeah,
even in the first place. So it's such a big part of that. And it's such an incredible thing that at, you know, 38, I think that you're able to get pregnant when majority of people would be told by their gynecologists, like, you know, this is a geriatric pregnancy.
Well, my whole pregnancy, you would have thought I was going to die the whole time. And one of my best friends, who's a month older than me, was also having a baby in Iowa. And she was like, you think it's bad in New York? Try having a baby at this age in Iowa. I mean, it's like all hands on deck, like you might break any minute.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And then, so you had them, you had your first at 38, your second at
30, and okay. Then third at 41. And I didn't have anything, though they were all, we were, again, I say lucky because in this day and age, it is lucky. Nothing other than that ovulation stick was anything we did. Right. But then my sister just had one at 45. She just had a baby last year. Yeah. And she didn't tell us about it because she was worried. She had some struggles and she didn't want to jinx it. And she wanted to make sure she didn't have to suffer through announcing anything sad. So she told us when she was 6 months along, and she lives in California, so she could pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you were pregnant in the pandemic, you could pull off.
Yes.
Lied about your pregnancy for a very long time. I mean, like I remember, and I said this on your show, but like when I came, seeing you was my very final stop in my book tour before the entire country shut down. And I was like very early pregnant, but I was kind of like, oh my God, I'm going to go into a full hole of hiding and
come out baby.
Yeah, have a baby and just like emerge in a couple months and like fully have a baby. But I love the, you know, of course, I love the fact that you were able to have children, you know, as easily as you were able to have three great pregnancies and three beautiful children that are healthy and make your family feel complete. I also think that it's a great additional messaging to a lot of women and men and people to really just trust in the process and not settle, because I think that there is, as women, there is so much pressure on us at a certain age, whether it's 27 by the woman who, you know, said that to you as you were single, or, you know, at 30, at 34, whatever the age is. And it's so much pressure to like hurry up and find somebody to have kids with. And of course, you want to pay attention to the fact that like there is a biological clock that you can't do anything about, of course. And if you want to get your fertility levels checked, that's great. Yep. And you can do that, and you have people have the ability to do that through your doctor and blood tests, which are fairly simple. And it's also super important to know that having kids is a really, really huge responsibility and decision. And being able to do that with the right person is super important. Yep. And if you do that on your own, that's amazing as well.
Right.
But I think there is a lot of pressure and kind of focus on women to just like hurry up and have kids with whoever you can right. have a kid with.
By the way, I have friends that are divorced with kids, and it's always heartbreaking when a marriage doesn't work. But a marriage that doesn't work with kids is a bit of a life sentence in not in a bad way necessarily. There's some diplomatic divorces, but one of my sisters is divorced, and I know she would say, having had kids and that's all she wanted, that added a level of difficulty to the divorce, because that means that runway to get successfully out of the marriage and move on is beautifully connected and terrifyingly connected by children that you both love. And so I knew, by the way, just to add a little detail, even though I did have some luck with having babies. I had thought about if I wanted to be a mom, no matter what, there were things I knew about myself. And these are individual decisions like you referenced. I knew I couldn't have a baby by myself. I deal with some struggles with anxiety and things. And I thought it's not the journey I'd want to take. I want a partner. I want someone. So whatever that person looks like, I'll do it with someone. And if I can't have my own babies, if I struggle with that, I also knew that I didn't have it in me, the individual strength. I admire women who do IVF because the hormones and the things you have to do to get pregnant take such a toll on the woman and by exchange than the man, but most physically the woman. I knew that I couldn't mess with hormones. I have to really work all the time on my mental health, and that includes exercise and eating and sleeping. Right. To do that would have been too high of a cost for me. And I like not just monetarily, but more importantly, my mental health. So I also knew in my heart of all hearts that if I didn't find a person in time for me to see if I could have my own biological kids, I'd find another way to be a mom because I wasn't going to be someone that could sustain the freezing the eggs. I'm all for it. If you can do it, that's so individual. But for me, I couldn't risk what it would do to my mental health to pull that off.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that those are important things to know about yourself. And it's interesting because the week before Mother's Day, I talked to a couple of different people about their journeys to motherhood. And there are so many different journeys to motherhood and to being able to be a mom. And if you're clear that you know you want to be a mom, there are so many different ways to be able to get there with a partner, without a partner, to biologically have your own children, to become moms in other ways. So it's such a beautiful thing to be able to have all these different avenues towards motherhood and to be able to have so much research out there to kind of choose what works for you and to still be able to have the journey of motherhood be a part of your life. I also just like going on the relationship part, because I'm sure, you know, after you have this conversation with this woman, and I remember before I met my husband, everybody would always say to me like, you need to go out. You need to go out to meet somebody. You're not going to meet somebody just hanging at home with your mom and your siblings and your dad and your family. And like, I'm a big family person. And I would always be at home around my family and I didn't like going out to clubs and things like that. And it, which of course I met my husband in church, so it worked out very well. But I think for women who are, you know, wondering about meeting somebody, because you met your husband at 34. My mom and dad got married at 34. So I know a lot of people who, you know, find each other at 38, at 40, and they still have families. But is there any kind of words of wisdom that you would give to people who are maybe in a similar situation of wondering if they're going to find the right person or how to kind of navigate that with all the pressures that society put on us?
So I met my husband on OkCupid.
Really?
Yeah. So here you're in New York City and people say there are so many people to meet, but I think there's a extra layer people don't consider there. A lot of people go to New York for their careers because it's a place where you're ready to kind of kill yourself in a job. And you put things off. Like I'm a big family person. And before I had my own, it was my immediate family, my mom, dad, my sisters. That was all I did, is we traveled to each other. Well, if you're a homebody who's really devoted to work and you see your family, there's no time in between that you're going to just like run into someone in the produce aisle like they do in movies. And I kept looking for that person and it wasn't happening. And I thought, there was one day where I kind of lectured myself. I was sitting there and one second was like, why does everyone else meet people? And then I was like, no, Sarah. Mm-hmm. You have a job that you will miss life moments for. You will do everything for. And that's a job. And a company will fire you tomorrow. You are a number and a face and everyone is dispensable. Two, to get into shape, because as a woman and really as a world, but specifically women, we have a lot of awareness of our bodies and our changing shapes. We will run on a treadmill, really, essentially, like literally going nowhere. You run in place.
Yeah.
You hurt yourself. You do weightlifting. You do all these things in the name of beauty. Now you want to meet your best friend, but you don't want it to be uncomfortable. You don't want to have to work for it. You want it to just happen. Why? Why would that be the case? If it's the biggest investment you're making, why would it be easy? And sometimes it is, but it wasn't for me. And I thought, I get one life. I'm going to do the work it takes to find a partner. And so it was awkward. People are like, no, you don't understand, Sarah. When I was online, it was weird people. I was like, oh, girl, I had weird people. I had a demographic of 50 plus year olds living in their parents' basement that loved me. That's my people. So I had every story you could imagine. It was uncomfortable. I had weird first dates. I did, but I kept going. Mm-hmm. And I kept going because it was worth it. And I found.
Yeah, I love that. I love those kinds of stories. I didn't even know that you met your husband on OkCupid. I feel, is OkCupid still around?
Well, my husband's the one that told me. He's like, I knew you were serious when I saw your profile because it was, you know, I was there to really meet, you know, someone. I didn't come out of the gate saying, I want a husband. Like, that never works well. But I came out saying, I hope to meet someone. He could tell. And he goes, but Sarah, OkCupid's like a big hookup site. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so many different. I love hearing stories like that, that, you know, of people who meet in different places, whether it's an online dating thing. I saw some people say that they did meet in a grocery aisle, which is amazing, or at a restaurant. Yeah. I think that those things are so great. And also it's just, you know, this idea that like you do need to, not that it's work necessarily, but you do need to be in the mindset of like, you know, let's do this. This is something that I want. This is a goal of mine. And you want to have a family and you want to have a partner in life. And if that is what you want, of course, I'm not saying that has to happen, but it is, it's a great thing to have that like check of yourself, like, no, like let's, you know, stay on track. Let's do it. And I'm so happy that you were able to have that kind of a story with, you know, having your three children, meeting your husband. And I think it's really encouraging because obviously you have three kids, a husband, you know, I'm sure there are times that are overwhelming, but you also have an incredible career and it's a balancing act. Like I've watched my mom do it and
Eller, I say hi.
Well, she's in the other room with my daughter. I gave her the baby just to anybody who watched our conversation. Everybody's like, you never give your mom the baby because my mom has said that I don't give her my daughter because, you know, for whatever reason. And so I've given her the baby while I'm doing this. So everybody can relax. Check it. But I think it's so empowering for people to be able to, you know, hear these kinds of conversations from women like you and be able to feel kind of put at ease in their journey and to know that, you know, that amazing things happen. They don't have to happen on a specific timeline of like married and have your second kid by the time you're 27 or 28. And if you do that, that's great as well. But also if you don't do that, that's fine. And there are so many different ways to meet someone and also different ways to becoming moms and have families and to do it with such grace and ease as you are currently doing. So thank you so, so much. I love all these mom hacks and I'm definitely going to have to come back and talk to you again about how to wrangle my crawling child.
Anytime you have a question, let me know because I have had each time I think I figure out a child, the second or third comes along and you're like, it's like the universe is keeping you on your toes. The thing never worked for me. So
my gosh, that is, I know all the time with us, she's like, all four of you are very, very different and we're different to raise and are different still today. And so it makes sense that one thing would work for another. I don't know if you ever had that Mamaroo swing, but everybody told me to get that Mamaroo baby swing and I put my daughter in it. Hated it.
One of my kids would sit in a seat that moved. And I was like, great. That was the secret weapon of every other parent.
No, everyone's like, I swear by it. It allowed me to have sleep and have a life. And I'm like, of course it doesn't.
Yeah, and of course it didn't work for me. So. No.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I'm so grateful. So nice to talk to you. And I'm so... I'm loving all of these mom hacks and I'm going to for sure come out for more because
you know where I am. Anytime you even need the private email of what did you, I'm here for you.
Thank you so much. I love it. A mom. I love it. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is sharing the message that connection is crucial because good relationships are an essential and sometimes overlooked component of mental well-being. If your relationships could use some strengthening, a licensed therapist from Talkspace can help. Therapy can help you communicate better with loved ones, repair conflicts, and understand how to address loneliness and build community. It's easy to sign up. Just go to Talkspace.com and you'll be paired with a therapist within 2 days. You'll meet with your therapist online on your schedule. Plus, Talkspace is in network with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Make personal connections a priority and start today. If you're not covered by insurance, get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80. That's SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80.